you had the opportunity to think about what we would hear from the Word of God before Mass and with our apps on our phones and all the devotional opportunity materials we have, many of us get to see and read the scriptures for the day before we come to Mass. And that's a great opening to our minds to hear the Word of God, so we're hearing it not for the first time. We're hearing it again, and we hear more. But what would we have expected as we celebrate the feast of Corpus Christi, the body of blood of Christ? Not a story about Abram and Melchizedek. Melchizedek only appears in the scriptures three times. Why does he get today on a super solemn feast day? Melchizedek is a priest of a cult type community, and he comes to Abraham, receives him and accepts him and blesses him, and he gives him 10% of all that he has as a tribute. So if you want to know where our teaching on tithing comes from, giving 10% of all that God has blessed us with, blame it on Melchizedek. He did it first. He's also mentioned in Psalm 110, which was our responsorial psalm, and in the letter to the Hebrews. Other than that, we know very little about Melchizedek. But he is that king of Salem, the king of peace. And Jesus comes to be the king of peace, the ultimate prince of who we are called to live in his image and likeness. And we see that in the gospel. Jesus is with 5,000 men, and assumably an equal number of women and children, and teaching about the kingdom of God, curing people who need to be cured and healed, ministering, caring for people of all dimensions and all parts of society with the compassion of God, and asking us to do the same. He sends his disciples who are compassionate. They know that it's getting late in the day, and these people have a ways to journey to get home or to find shelter and food for the night. So they ask Jesus to dismiss them. And he says, give them something to eat yourself. Over 1,000 people. And they tell them, Jesus, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. Ain't gonna go too far. And he tells them to get people organized, groups of 50, and then I will pray. And he prays and blesses their offering, their obedience, and there's enough for everyone to be satisfied and 12 wicker baskets left over. More than Paul addresses that they're not recognizing who they are, that they are the body of Christ as a whole, as a community, and all people. Paul will speak about the body being many parts, and we need each part to function wholly and fully. Think about it if you've ever had surgery on a broken arm or leg or anything that incapacitated a part of your body, and how difficult that is. We can still function, but not as well. So I bring that scriptural background to you as I come and speak about the Unbound ministry. I was invited about a year ago to come to Kansas City for a 2-day interview. And I was prepared for my questions, and they had their questions. It was very intense. And my question was always in the back of my mind. This used to be Christian Foundation for Children and Aging, and I knew what that group did. Now you're Unbound, and I know you do the same thing, but what does it mean? And what would I tell people? And they talked about how Christian Foundation for Children and Aging was too long. Nobody liked to type it, nobody liked to say it, so it just became CFCA. And what does that mean? Good point. And they chose Unbound because that is what we do. We unbind people from loneliness and poverty, one family at a time, one relationship at a time. And that is the unique part of our ministry. We sponsor and ask support for children for their education and elderly for their medical care in 17 poorest countries of the world. And there's three parts to it. There is the getting to know our person in a foreign country, such as Madagascar, where my young lady, Virginia, lives, and she is in school learning to be a teacher, and I'm supporting her education. And I offer her picture. I know it's not really seeable too far back, but you know, it's a picture of a real person. And we are helping real families, real people, and making a difference in their life. Over the 40 years that the ministry has been functioning out of Kansas City, we've served over 1 million children and aging. And a lot of the children, as they graduate from school, want to come back and work for Unbound because people have supported them, and now they want to do something to support the livelihood and the initiative of others to break the bonds of poverty, to be unbound and free to live their life to the fullest. So we follow three principles of our Catholic social teaching. One is to work one family at a time, relieving poverty. Another, to support the role of women in their families who are often the glue and the only adult in the family with many children. And then to pray. And also know that the need locally is always more visible and aware. People in Kansas City cannot know all the needs of Bolivia, Tanzania, Madagascar, Bolivia, and all the countries that we work in. I was talking to a man after Mass this morning who went on one of our mission trips, and he was pointing out to me that he noticed the difference when they entered a home where it was just children and a mother, versus homes where both parents were present. There was a calmness, there was an inner joy, and a different sense of oneness. And I thanked him for sharing that, acknowledged his correctness. We can see that in our own homes and our families in this country. But we work with people. And Virginia wants to be a teacher, and that's the education I'm sponsoring and paying for her. But she's already going to school early and tutoring her classmates that need help, just as Jesus in the gospel was not only teaching, but he would spend time with individuals who needed to be cured. She stays after school and helps others, and then has a 30-minute bus ride. So I feel like I'm not just making a difference in Virginia's life, I'm also making a difference in the community's life by empowering her to already be living out her chosen calling, vocation in life. We were founded in Kansas City by five people who wanted to make a difference. Bob Henson, the leader of the group, decided he wanted to spend time in poor communities, and he left Kansas City for a journey to Guatemala and always stayed in the poor parts of town. His mode of transportation was walking from Kansas City to Guatemala. I drove for 300 miles yesterday to come from Northwest Arkansas. I wouldn't want to walk that, let alone continue all the way to Guatemala. I admire the man. But that's our foundation. Him learning to accept the knowledge and the wisdom of the people and what they say they needed. And so the sponsorship program invites us to enter into a relationship as he did with poor people, only we get to do it by mail and email via computer. I keep a picture of Virginia on my counter to remember to pray for her daily. And I send $40 every month, and that happens automatically. When I first thought of that, priest pension is not the greatest, and $40 a month, I decided when I travel, I would fast from one meal. And that covered part of it. I rearranged some of interest from accounts and just let go of another 20. And sometimes I'm able to send her more. I just needed to be aware and be willing to sacrifice and allow the Lord to bless. Just as the disciples didn't think they had enough, I didn't think I had enough. It comes out to about a dollar a day, a little bit more than that, and makes a difference in my life as I watch her grow, and it makes a difference certainly in her life and the life of the community. So it's that I'm inviting you to join us and participate in. There are packets in the lobby that look like this. And the easiest way to become a sponsor is to simply take a picture of the QR code on the front of the packet, that in this case it's Liz, and then there's a sponsorship form. If you use the QR code, just write your name and the confirmation number that comes up on your phone, and then fold the white sheet into the white envelope in the packet, and you're done. The rest you can do at home. If you want to pay by credit card or bank account direct, debit card, or you're already sponsoring, just adding one, there's instructions for that. But always take the white sheet and fold it into the envelope and give that to one of the sponsors or myself. We have a man that I met 2 weeks ago, his grandfather, and he told me he sponsors 7 children in honor of his grandchildren. And as he sponsors them, he pays the bill, but he talks to them and wants them to do the writing. So 7 of his grandchildren have accepted having pen pals in foreign countries, and they love it. And he enjoys supporting them. I chose her because I had been mission director in Madagascar on the other side of the country with a small religious community. People see a name of grandchild or an adult that they knew and loved, and they want to sponsor that way. There's many ways of choosing, and there's many different countries and people of different ages and needs. So I invite you to stop by the table and at least look and see who else is living and how the world is one in the body of Christ, and we're called to share that oneness and care for the needs of one another as Jesus did. The Eucharist isn't just here for us to receive and take for ourselves. We go and do this, live our lives in memory of Jesus. Body and blood at the time of Jesus would have meant the whole person, and that's exactly what Jesus gave. He left heaven, in the words of Philippians chapter 2, and became one of us. He needed parents, needed love, needed support, needed apostles. And he still needs apostles, disciples, us today, to go into the world, having been fed by his word and his sacrament, that we celebrate today as the body and blood of Christ and make a difference because of our faith. And I thank Father for inviting me, and I'm glad that I could replace him. And I very much enjoyed being with you all. And I thank you all for listening and welcoming me to your parish community. Thank you. I believe in one God.